Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to look back at the just passed General Assembly session this morning. Our very special guest this morning from the 28th District, it is Stafford Delegate Bob Thomas. Bob, good to have you here.
Hey, Ted. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate
it. It's great to have you. We usually do these General Assembly shows in January. You had one of the most unusual starts to a General Assembly session that I have ever seen. It was, and I didn't realize how it was all playing out personally for you until first weekend or so when I saw you down in your office in Richmond, and you told the story about how you found out that you were going to actually be seated in the General Assembly. We'll start with that.
Yeah, really, we didn't know till about 9:30 the morning of the day of the swearing in. We got a phone call that said that all the legal stuff had been resolved and that we were cleared to go ahead and be sworn in. So it was quite a November and December for my family. They weren't really sure what Dad's future was going to look like. And, you know, we really publicly tried to be very quiet and just let the process play out.
Yeah.
We just wanted a just and true result, and we didn't want to interfere with that. So we would have loved to have come on the show and really talked to a lot of our constituents about what they wanted us to do in Richmond. But for those reasons, we really had to kind of not do those things. So, but thanks for having me now.
Well, no, it's great to have you here this morning to talk about some things. And just preparing for the session had to be difficult because you didn't know from really week to week what was going to happen.
Right. You know, we had an orientation and actually both candidates were there because the House clerk really wasn't sure what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But fortunately, they did let me start submitting bills because I had my certificate of election. So my staff and I were able to submit a pretty good number of bills this year and start working on those. But even that was very short fused and was kind of difficult to do. But we figured it out and we got started on day one and integrated right into the team.
What's it like after having gone through a session now, and you went through a long session, a General Assembly session? I mean, you're one of the – so often people are elected to the General Assembly with no government experience. You did. You had – being on the Stafford Board of Supervisors gave you – you understood the process.
I knew that would help a little bit, but I really had no idea how much that information and understanding of things like stormwater management regulations and – so it really was a great advantage to have that. And I quickly became a resource to the other freshmen in the class who would often approach me and ask me how this local government thing worked. And I just want to make sure my door is always open to everybody who's down there. And if I can bring some of that knowledge to bear, it helps everybody.
Boy, the days, though, are long. I mean, it's a lot different than the Stafford Board of Supervisors. The board, you'd have long meetings sometimes, but in the General Assembly, it's every day.
I'm sure you've seen that show Groundhog Day, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very early day. I would usually start my day the night before because we have some technology now that allows us to read all the bills that are going to come in front of our subcommittee or the whole body. And so I would spend several hours the evening before kind of preparing for that. But it was pretty much a get up at 6 a.m., be at committee by 7 or 7:30, floor session at noon, receptions in the evening, and then start it all over the next day.
The other thing I noticed, and I followed your Facebook page pretty closely, and people in the district should do that because, boy, you get a good understanding day-to-day what's going on with your Facebook page. You do a lot of things with Facebook that others don't do. I was amazed at the number of people who come down to see you. And I'm sure the pictures that we would see on Facebook of different groups you meeting with is only just a snapshot of really what it's like. And I know you like people coming through, but that's a lot of interruptions and a lot of meetings with constituents every day.
Yeah, definitely put your multitasking skills to the test. But one of the policies our office always had was if somebody came, even if they were there by surprise, if they were from the district, they always got pushed right to the front, and we always made that happen. And it's just really good to have people from your district coming in and letting you know how they feel. It's very important that people do that, and it's kind of neat to send them over to the Capitol and get them a special tour, so we invite people to do that. School groups, anything like that. And we don't have to be in session to get you those kind of tours, so Just reach out to us at any point if you'd like to go down and see the Capitol. I still get goosebumps walking in that building. I think everybody does when they get inside there and see the history that's there.
It is the history down there. And I did not realize that when you're not in session that you can do that, because everybody should, and especially with summer break here. Take your kids down sometime and tour the Capitol, because it is something to see both the House and the Senate and just the everything that's down there. So much history.
It's a true honor to be in there. You know, it's one of those institutions that, you know, a lot of people don't realize, but it's the oldest, you know, a form of elected representative government in the New World. And that's something that Virginia could be very proud of. And it really set the stage for all the other state governments that have followed. I think if you go to Washington, you look at some of the architecture of the other state houses, you see a lot of Mr. Jefferson's Capitol. Mm. So it's very great.
Well, and in your case, too, to be sitting in the seat that Speaker Howell had for so many years, and you know him well and are close to him, and that had to be a special honor.
It was. You know, the only downside to that is you don't get to sit in your seat and have Speaker Bill Howell bang the gavel. I was the only person that wasn't able to experience that. So that was the downside. But the highlight of my session really was towards the end, when he was recovering and doing pretty well. He came down, and just to see every member of the General Assembly that was there, the love that they have for Speaker Howe and really Sessie. It's hard to say, you know, in Richmond, Bill, without saying Sessie. Those two were really a team, as we saw back here, but it was evident in Richmond, too. But that was really the highlight, bringing him down, doing that final resolution for him.
That was really a special moment, because I got goosebumps watching it. And to see how everybody, from both parties, came
Absolutely.
Together and welcomed him back.
Absolutely. You know, he always talked about caring about the institution, but he really, truly did put that first. And you know, people from all walks of life, all parties, they just understood that his true goal was just to make sure the House of Delegates as an institution was always strengthened, and it was better than when he picked it up when he left. So, and I think that's true today.
We talk about all the changes and adjustments that you had to make. How'd your family do this session? Because I'm sure for your kids, this was way different having dad not around like you usually are.
Yeah, I think the younger three, who are, you know, preschool and first and second grade, they kind of knew what we were talking about. But when I actually didn't come home a couple nights that first week, I don't travel much for business. So for them, it was a true adjustment. And I think they finally realized, oh, this is what mommy means by dad's not coming home every night. But my wife is, she's the trooper at home that really makes it all happen. And I was so busy, it was kind of hard for me to be homesick. But I'll tell you get to that apartment late at night and you're used to having six or eight kids running around and there's just you. It's very quiet and it could be a lonely place if you're not careful.
Yeah. So you stayed down in Richmond, or did you commute back, or just on the weekends?
I stayed down there during the week. Like I said, I would usually stay up reading stuff till 1 or 2 in the morning and then get up at 6. So I'm not much to drive sleepy, so I try not to do that.
Yeah.
So it worked out pretty well.
Any surprises for you of just the day-to-day? You talk about it being a grind, and you talk about the volume of legislation. Were you surprised? Anything surprised you this year with the first session?
You know, one of the things that really surprised me is you get people that come by in these groups, and they tap you on the shoulder and they say, "We just want you to know that you're the legislator we're praying for today." And I never thought about anything like that.
Yeah,
it was just kind of neat to know that there were hundreds of people around the Commonwealth praying that you have the wisdom to make the right decision, because they're tough sometimes. So that was kind of a neat surprise.
Stafford Delegate Bob Thomas with us this morning from the 28th District. We're going to jump in and talk about some issues that occurred during the last session when we come back this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are looking back at the past General Assembly session this morning with Stafford Delegate Bob Thomas and getting his thoughts on things that happened in the past session. Medicaid expansion has been the big issue for a number of years. Some changes to that bill this year. You voted for it, and I'll let you talk about what some of your thoughts were, Delegate Thomas, on your decision to go along with several other Republicans this year in voting for Medicaid expansion.
Sure, I'm glad you acknowledge that. Some of the rhetoric you're seeing right now makes it sound like it was me and the 49 Democrats, but there actually were, depending on which of the two bills you're talking about, 18 or 19 other Republicans that signed on to the compromise legislation. You know, a lot has changed. I was quoted in the newspaper. My position was always that I did not want to expand a program that was broken, never dreaming that an actual chance for reforms was within our grasp. You know, my colleagues down there have been trying for over a decade to get some reforms to this program. And most people don't know that in order to do any reforms, you have to have a presidential administration who's willing to approve that. And we just certainly have not had that for the last, you know, eight or nine years. And now we do. And I have to give some credit to the new governor, Governor Northam. He was a senator, so he kind of understands that there's 140 people over there in the General Assembly that are responsible to their constituents. And his willingness to reach across the aisle and give us some of these conservative reforms that we've been after for so long. So like I said, I just had no idea that there would be an opportunity to fix the system, and that presented itself. So for me, it was a decision of just sit back and cross my arms and say no, and a very bad version of this would come along with no fixes to it at all, and we would be stuck with it, or you know, put my weight and my vote behind the speaker and let him go in and negotiate for a good compromise that works for everybody. So that's kind of what we decided to do. You've probably heard a lot about the reforms that are in there. The high level, we have a work requirement that's in there. We have co-pays, premium. We want people to, you know, have a little bit of skin in the game like they would in the private sector. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, the hope is to bring people out of poverty. The people that are covered in expansion, they're working Virginians. What happened with the Obamacare Affordable Care Act is they lowered the requirement for the number of hours before your employer would have to give you insurance. Well, they were trying to help people, and what they did was they actually hurt them. So employers just continued to cut back the number of hours someone could get so they didn't have to give them insurance. So now we have this gap of people who they're actually working, but they don't make nearly enough money to buy their own insurance. So that's the population that is covered by this. And the big thing for me also, and a lot of the fiscal conservatives, you know, we always worry about what's going to happen in the future. We kind of thought that they would repeal Obamacare when the Republicans took over the House, Senate, and the presidency, but they did not do that. So unfortunately, it's the law of the land. I would have liked to see us start over with something new and do it a little better, but that didn't happen. So what we had was we have something that is now the law of the land, and it's our responsibility as delegates and senators to make this work for Virginia. So that's kind of what you're seeing now in the expansion Medicaid program that was passed in the budget.
And I'm glad you mentioned a couple of things there, because a lot of times these issues aren't just as easy as saying, well, you said this and you did this. A lot of things have changed with this bill, and especially I know the work requirement was a big thing that you and some others in the speaker pushed for.
And it's not necessarily a popular position for the governor. I mean, he's taken a lot of heat from, you know, the other side of the aisle. But he's willing to, you know, understand that in order to get something passed that works for all Virginians, that was something he had to sit down at the table and talk about. You know, it's always nice to have a third party organization come in and kind of validate what you did. A lot of people are really worried that, you know, if the federal government ever changes, if they ever do actually get around to repealing, that it's going to hurt Virginia. One day before the governor signed our budget, Moody's, the bond rating agency, came out and said that not only did they reaffirm our rating and we're now back on a neutral setting instead of on notice, but they also said that the way our healthcare plan was worked out this year, that they felt it further insulated Virginia from any future changes at the federal level. So it's always good to see that the people that are in the know and their job is to look at the risk for a state. They agreed that this program actually helps us.
I did not realize that. I'm glad you mentioned that. I did not hear that. Boy, and I know in the past hospitals were concerned, and Mary Washington Hospital had expressed some concerns about in the future how they were going to be impacted if Virginia didn't do something.
Right, and that was one of the game changers as well. I forgot to mention earlier is the Hospital Association came forward, and one of the problems, and most people don't realize, is a lot of people that don't have medical insurance, they show up to the hospital has to see them. And so truly we're all paying for that care now. It's mm-hmm. it's just wrapped into all the insurance rates that those of us with a regular insurance plan pay. The hospitals decided that they would band together and kind of bring a private sector solution to this problem we're trying to solve. And what they're going to do is, now that they're able to get reimbursed for these patients who now will have Medicaid, that will reduce their charity care. And for Mary Washington, in the first year alone, they'll actually come out $6 million ahead. So this is something they asked us to do. And because they're coming out ahead, you know, some of the rumors you're hearing about that's going to drive up the cost of care at the hospital, for all the modeling that we've seen, that should not be the case.
Well, and again, it's important to realize that over in the Senate, there was a lot of debate about this. And this issue over in the Senate kind of was one of the things that held up the budget. But it wasn't as though on the House side, it all was on you. There was, 20-some Republicans that voted for this.
Right. When we first started out, I knew there would be at least three delegates, two from Southwest, where the economy is just really struggling. And they have said for quite a while that they thought some form of expansion would need to come to the table. And, Delegate Davis, my colleague down in Virginia Beach, had actually submitted a bill a couple years ago to actually do the expansion. So I kind of knew strategically, having that local elected and kind of being able to count votes is important. I knew strategically that, on the House side, we had at least three delegates that would vote for it. And on the Senate side, Senator Hanger has always submitted bills as well. So we knew eventually he would vote for it. So that's kind of how we ended up with the strategy that we had.
Doing a state budget, how'd that differ from what your experience in doing a local budget? I know when you were on the staff of Board of Supervisors, you were always very careful and looked at a lot of things. You would bring up things in the budget that most didn't see, and a lot of times it'd be like, oh, how'd you see that? Did you do a lot of that were you able to do that with a state budget?
So as you stated, I was always on the budget committee my whole 6 years on the Stafford board, and I really, really enjoyed that. So when I got started down there, nobody really kind of knew that background that I had. But between the beginning and the end of the session, Chairman Jones, he's the chairman of, our appropriations committee.
Yeah.
He's the guy like I was here that really knows everything in and out. So we've developed a wonderful relationship. And I was able to, visit him in the office and talk about a couple of budget amendments. One of the ones we wanted to do is adding a pay raise for deputies, because the state police got a huge bump last year and has created kind of a problem for recruiting for the localities, sheriff's office especially. And I was able to get that in as a freshman, which was not necessarily a normal thing, but that's all about those relationships. And I think he understands that I've been to New York City to brief the bond rating agencies. I've been to S&P and Fitch on behalf of the county. So I just wanted to make sure he knows that, he has an ally that can do the same thing.
I had forgotten about that you did that. And that gives you, I would think, some confidence. And when you're looking at things and talking about the budget in Richmond, you've got some experience that most don't have.
Absolutely. And, I'm one of those legislators who I call myself a policy wonk. I just love spending hours just digging into and reading things. And I think that the budget this year is something that we can all be proud of. One of the things that most people don't know is when they hear the word expansion, they think it's just adding new people to the program. That is a part of it. But one of the other things is there's a lot of services that Virginia taxpayers are already paying for now in the Medicaid program. And we only get $1 for every dollar we put in. We get a dollar from the federal government. Well, a lot of those programs now goes to a 90-10 match. So that freed up about $450 million, which actually helped me solve one of the other problems I've always had about Medicaid, which was it was pulling dollars from K-12 and public safety and local governments. So we were able to instantly this year take $450 million that we're already spending, it's not new spending, and actually put that back in the local government. So for me, it was winning on two fronts and letting me keep my campaign promises to fix the program and help with the localities.
A lot of times those in local government talk about unfunded mandates that the state throws on local governments. Did you get a chance? Did you see any of that this year, of where you were sitting in that seat now where you could see things and imagine what it would mean for, Stafford, Spotsylvania, King George, the local supervisors?
Yeah, we did have some of that. One of the things had to do with body-worn cameras by law enforcement. Sometimes you have sheriff's departments that think, hey, this is a great and wonderful idea, and they want to implement it. Well, they forget that it takes a couple of Commonwealth's attorney staff to actually review all this footage. And so there was a bill that would basically mandate that the Board of Supervisors pay for it, but we weren't sending money down to do that. So that was an example of a bill where there were I was really surprised that there's a lot of legislators who actually do care and they do pay attention. And when you say this is an unfunded local mandate, it gets a lot of their attention. So that bill, we decided to continue to work on it here shortly, but that would have been an unfunded mandate that they're already stretched thin enough.
Yeah. Well, and that's interesting to see the fact that a lot of times people may be voting for things and not realizing that it's an unfunded mandate.
Absolutely. I mean, these bills, I got to admit, they come fast and furious. I mean, one of the things I realized is instead of reading all the bills that were submitted, you really only focus on the bills that are coming for your subcommittee, because a lot of the other bills might not even make it out of subcommittee. So you quickly learn how to prioritize your time.
But as you talk about things, and you mentioned that you're a policy wonk. If you're a policy wonk, I mean, you found a home in the General Assembly.
Absolutely. And, it was pretty funny because we were talking about a bill in one of our meetings and somebody said, "Wow, this is a really bad bill." And they were kind of explaining it. And I didn't want to be the freshman that talks too much, but I raised my hand and said, "This is what the bill actually does." And I quickly became the resource and everybody's like, "Oh, Thomas probably read this. Let's ask him what he thinks." So I'm just happy to be part of the team.
When we come back, I want to talk to you about technology, because I mean, you've got a technology background and you use some of that technology to help you to get through the session. And before we take a break, if someone wants to either follow you on Facebook or get a hold of your office, things like that, how's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, we've tried to streamline all of our tags on social media. So Bob Thomas VA, if you go to Facebook or Twitter and things like that, that's the best way to grab us. You could always send an email to DelB, that's DELB Thomas at house.virginia.gov. That goes to me specifically, and my entire team is monitoring that 24/7. So usually when something comes in, we try to react as quickly as we can.
Stafford Delegate Bob Thomas here this morning. Much more coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Need to take a break. It's now 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Stafford Delegate Bob Thomas in this morning. We are talking about the just concluded Virginia General Assembly session. Boy, because the General Assembly is usually the budget that all wraps up on a long session. In early March, it's kind of like Spotsylvania getting out of school now and going back in 6 weeks. For you, before you know it, you're going to be getting ready for the next General Assembly session.
Absolutely. We're already preparing. We've had a couple constituents come in with some ideas for legislation. And that's what I would say to my constituents is a lot of these ideas for bills actually come from regular people that are running into an issue or they have an idea on how to make something better. So if you have a problem, call us. But also, if you have ideas on legislation, please give us a call.
You have a technology background, and I found it fascinating that you used that to your advantage through technology, and you were able to get through a lot of these bills and be prepared for things that a lot of people, a lot of us would have just spent time reading and catching up. But you used your technology know-how this year.
Yeah, so we built an application for my staff and I. It's how we communicate. So if you have written us an email or if you've made a phone call or sent us maybe a postcard, there's actually a tag on a record for you. So when I'm on the floor of the House and I'm looking at a bill, if I want to know what mm-hmm. the constituency input is, I can literally pull that up and read by name people that are for and against it and maybe the comments they had. Or if you're in a subcommittee and somebody said, if you could change this bill a little bit, you never know when you can take an idea like that and have an impact with it. So that was a new tool that we built, and we're trying to tailor it and customize it and put it through a session, and we might offer it to a couple of our colleagues down there to help them.
Okay. Soon, one day, there may be you may have an app in the app store that helps them. But I thought that really was, I mean, that uses your background, and you were able to do things that way.
Yeah, and I do a little bit of cybersecurity in my day job as well, and one of my bills was to have the CIO for Virginia actually mm-hmm. review all of the executive level departments. Right now, they get a cybersecurity review if they ask for one. But in today's security posture, we thought that it's probably a good idea that they at least do a review on every single department. So they came over and visited us and told us kind of what they did. We identified the gaps. So that bill passed, and we're looking forward to knowing that all the agencies, including higher ed, where there's a lot of sensitive data, sensitive citizen data, will be secured.
But in some ways, that's just kind of a common sense kind of thing. But again, it's always good. Fresh ideas coming in. You see the advantage of that sometimes.
Absolutely. And, you know, people ask me how we got so many bills passed, and it's because I pick bills that just make sense, things that, you know, some people haven't picked up on yet. I try to stay away from some of the lightning rod issues. I've never really been that way at the local level either, and just get things done that help everybody and make their everyday lives a little bit better.
Let us talk transportation, because transportation obviously around here is a big deal, and it was something I know that you dealt with on the local level. I'll just talk to you about one, sort of close transportation kind of issue that I thought was interesting that you got involved in was letting state police use drones to look at a traffic scene in hopes of getting the road open sooner, because I looked at that and I thought, what a great idea.
Right. So again, this is another example of somebody who brought an idea to us. Ben Worcester, he's a very, very talented member of the Stafford County Sheriff's Office, and he's been kind of on the leading edge of drones. But there's certain things you can't do with a drone without getting a search warrant, because, you know, you have to respect people's privacy. So one of the ideas they had was, when there's a big traffic accident, a lot of the time that gets taken up is actually documenting that scene. The state police and VDOT actually came and testified for us, and they said on average on an interstate accident, it's a 4-hour from start to finish time. So you have people literally sitting on the highway for 4 hours not moving. They came in and testified that with the proposal that we had on the table, they felt that could be reduced to a little bit under 2 hours. So if there's a major traffic accident on a Friday and we can save people 2 hours and get them home just a little bit quicker, those are the kind of bills that it really makes you feel like, okay, we're getting something done for people. And
That kind of thing happens. You've got my vote. That's that just a common sense kind of thing. But that's huge.
And instead of just the state police, we actually, the General Assembly agreed with me to have all local law enforcement be able to do it as well. And we had to, you know, tighten the language through the process because the ACLU is always very concerned about privacy. But we took the old-fashioned approach to lawmaking. The very first day, Jake Salmons, he's my legislative assistant. He's been down there with other people before, and there's these forms you take around to get people to sign on, other delegates to support your legislation, and I grabbed it and went running off, and he's kind of like, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to go get some signatures, and apparently not all the lawmakers do that face-to-face, one-on-one, but I thought it was a great time to go build some relationships, so I did all that on my own, and it really, really did pay off.
That really is – that's the kind of thing that you hear about is missing today in state government, just the kind of personal – I mean, that's how things got done, and we've gotten kind of away from that. You hear that from other legislators.
Yeah. You know, one of the things – a couple of years ago, they tried to clean up a lot of the ethics stuff. They used to have big parties and stuff at night, and they got rid of a lot of that. But unfortunately, they also got rid of that opportunity for, you know, Republicans and Democrats to just bump into each other and just talk about things and not be in the rush of the General Assembly. So – what we did was, when we had a bill, if I hadn't met a certain senator before, that was my excuse to go knock on their door and see if you could get in and talk to them. And every single person down there, if a legislator knocks on your door, they let you right in. So I took advantage of that and met a lot of great people that are trying to do a lot of good things.
Overall, transportation, you hear a lot on the local level with just frustration over Smart Scale and what that's done to this area. What as far as overall transportation and any revelations this session for you?
So I had a couple of bills in related to transportation this year. One was to Smart Scale. I had three different specific changes I wanted to look into making. And one of the big ones was they're using the total cost of a project. So if you're a Northern Virginia locality and you have a $100 million project, you have a lot of extra taxing authority, so you can buy that project down to $50 million. Whereas if we had that same project in, you know, another part of the state, it would be $100 million, where it's the same exact project, but it's graded differently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having relationships with the VDOT staff already was very helpful. When that bill came up, and Delegate Jones actually had a similar bill that did the opposite of mine, I was able to sit down with him and VDOT, and we agreed to just strike that part of the bill till next year and continue a conversation. And Secretary Valentine, Secretary of Transportation, actually agreed to come, and we convened a meeting with several locality officials from Stafford, Fredericksburg, FAMPO was there, and we had a really wonderful conversation, and they've actually agreed to come to the district at the end of the summer, early fall, and continue that conversation. So, and our CTB member was there as well, Hap Connor. So we have all the people, and I just enjoy really facilitating that and see if we can't get more done.
Boy, it'd be, obviously, transportation is such a huge issue around here. And again, one of the things, one of the just you having the experience and at the local level and in dealing with this, with a lot of things, and having personal relationships with people like Hap Connors and others in the local district office.
It's been very helpful. You know, one of the things when they did the 2013 transportation package, we all recognize that they literally forgot to put it in a floor on the gas tax for localities. And that was something that came up. I actually submitted a bill for that. Delegate Jones had a similar bill with the exact same wording. So we went with his bill. But, you know, it's really tough to hear people talk about championing transportation issues when they must know that you can't fix problems without a little bit of money. So that bill passed this year. And for Stafford County, for example, it should provide them with about $1.4 million. So they can actually start working on some local road projects again. Right now, all the money's dried up, and they can't fix any of these issues. It'll be about a penny at the pump, and it's something that they truly meant to do back in 2013 and didn't. The other way that experience has helped us, when that bill passed, there was, at the last minute, a move to take all of that new money from down here and put it to Metro. And I was a little surprised by that, but having a relationship with Delegate Hugo and Delegate Peace, who were the conferees on that, thankfully they were willing to sit down and listen to me so I could explain how the money comes in, how it gets, you know, divided among the localities, what the localities use it for. They were able to strike that idea of taking all that money from us and putting it up in Northern Virginia. And so thankfully, like I said, that they were willing to listen to the local guy explain how that works. So it worked out pretty good in the end for us.
Do we, before we move on, have we covered everything with transportation? Anything else that we missed?
I don't think so. You know, there's so many other areas I'm interested in, like economic development. We've put a little bit more into the Go Virginia initiative. It's still kind of in its infancy, but, you know, we're just trying to make sure that Virginia is an environment where businesses can thrive, because if we know if businesses are thriving, then that means we have lots of jobs. You know, in this area, our unemployment's pretty low, but there's always more to be done. There's certain areas of the state, like down in Southwest Virginia, our fellow Virginians are still really hurting down there. So we did some pretty out-of-the-box thinking down there with some tax incentives for employees and businesses, and pretty neat bipartisan stuff that I think will help in the end.
Boy, and when you talk, Delegate Thomas, about transportation, and you hear all kind, every locality around here in economic development talks about if improvements aren't made to transportation, we're going to start feeling it, just because of that. People are starting to avoid this area because of the transportation.
Yeah, we've seen that. You know, at the local level, we've had a couple of businesses say it's just really tough, and they don't want to subject their employees to, you know, 2-hour commutes either way. So that's one of the things that it's on everybody's mind in the General Assembly, and we're always trying to make improvements to, like I said, that environment that businesses have to thrive in.
On to education. What'd you see, or what things that jumped out at you this session that occurred in the budget or just took place in legislation?
One of the biggest changes that I was very excited about is, a lot of times when there's new lottery revenue we all think goes to education, if you look in the past, sometimes they take an extra $50 million from lottery and they put it into education, but they pull it out on the back end. So it's really not a net increase to education. Well, this year, for the first time, we put lottery money into education and left it there. And we also sent it to localities with no strings attached. We didn't ask them to match it dollar for dollar. We didn't tell them what they could do with it. So I would love to see us continue to do that in the near future. And then, you know, also we talked earlier about the $450 million of existing money that was freed up by the Medicaid expansion. We were able to put in a 3% raise for teachers with that money. So investing back in to the areas that have kind of struggled under Medicaid in the past. You know, I forgot to mention, one of the things that I always kind of believed, and a lot of the talking points are out there, that Medicaid has grown from 10% of our budget to over 20%.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the facts, it's actually grown, and that's a true statement, but they have actually grown it on purpose in the budget. So it's not this uncontrolled growth that I always thought it was. They've actually every time they've passed a budget, they've added waiver slots so people with mental health issues could get onto Medicaid. So we're going to try this year to figure out a way to account for the actual growth that we can't control versus the controlled growth that's happened over the last couple of years. So that'll help us clarify to the people that are worried about the uncontrolled growth.
Stafford Delegate, Bob Thomas here this morning. We are going to wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford Delegate Bob Thomas with us this morning as we wrap it up talking about the past General Assembly session. Boy, I was going to ask you, what does a delegate do when you're not in session? Following you on Facebook, you remind me you're the local Rob Whitman. You're everywhere. I see you at Stafford schools. You're at Rotary clubs. You're in the city all the time. There's a lot of constituents to meet in a district the size of the 28th.
Well, first of all, thank you. Probably the highest compliment I've had, other than people calling me, people saying they see bits of Bill Holland. Bill and Rob, they're true servants. They know, and they're kind of who I've learned from. We're all in. We're trying to be out there in the community. You can't possibly represent people unless you are out there and letting them talk to you and tell you what they truly think. So that's why we're trying to be at as many events as we can. As you know, I'm very familiar with the county of Stafford. I've represented it for 6 years, but it's been a true joy getting to know the city of Fredericksburg. It's a new opportunity for me to represent the city. There's so many great organizations. I always tell people that's my favorite part about being an elected official, is you meet all these wonderful organizations. Like last night, I was with the Boys and Girls Club. So 100 people in the room just trying to help these boys and girls, and it's inspiring. And thinking over the last couple months, we've met with people like Legal Aid Works and Empowerhouse. That's another one. They're unsung heroes. And most of these people donate hundreds of hours a year of time. And it's just truly an awesome opportunity to get to know all these people.
Well, and you get, I'm sure you get ideas from them because they're in the front lines on a lot of these issues we've talked about this morning.
Absolutely. I always say this job's 90% listening and 10% talking. One, I'm a pretty shy guy. Most people don't believe that. Yeah. I'm an introvert. But if you listen to some of these organizations and you just understand some of the struggles they're dealing with, you know what? Those are the ideas that you can take to Richmond and clear hurdles. Clear roadblocks so people can get things done.
You met. I sat in on a meeting you held with an advisory group before the session started, and it was made up of Republicans and Democrats. It was very evenly distributed. You don't often see that. A lot of times, as we talked earlier, it's everything's become so partisan. And I remember you made that day a point of making. You wanted to hear. A good idea doesn't have to be Democratic or Republican. It can be a good idea.
Absolutely. Our advisory committee, we're very proud of that. It's people that I'm certain voted for, either my primary opponent or my general opponent. And that's okay. Those people are, A, their constituents, so their opinion matters. But, B, they have a circle of influence, and they will hear things that we don't necessarily know about. So it's just all about trying to be fully informed on the issues that are facing our region and trying to bring everybody to the table to make solutions.
You feel pretty good about the first set. I mean, we've talked about some of these bills that you got passed the first year, and I've covered a lot of General Assembly sessions, and usually a freshman delegate, you don't hear about many successes, and you had a number of them this year.
Yeah, we just kind of kept our head down and pushed real hard, and we got to the end of the session, and we looked up, and we were tied for first with most bills passed by freshmen, so that was a nice surprise to the end. I have a great team. I mentioned Jake Salmons earlier. He really helped us navigate the General Assembly. And many people in this area know MC Morris, and she's really my lead on constituent outreach. And to us, that's the most fun part of the job is when we're not in Richmond, we're back home, we have people come in and they need help with something. So we encourage people to make sure they're reaching out.
The General Assembly building is now being, I think it's mostly been torn down now. The last picture, some of the pictures I've seen. And so you met in a different building, and MC got me through the office building you're in. I don't know how anybody we took so many turns and to get from here to there. But just navigating Richmond sometimes it takes a special skill.
Yeah, the Pocahontas building is our temporary home, and that kind of put us all on legal or on even footing because nobody knew where the bathroom was. So, you know, it didn't matter if you were a freshman or if you'd been there 25 years. It kind of put everybody in the same situation. And I think, you know, when you go through a struggle like that or a little challenge, it tends to take a team and make it coalesce. So it worked out pretty good for everybody.
So are you, as you've talked about meeting with different people and heard about different, talking about different issues and any kind of legislation that you're already thinking about that as soon as you can file it, you'll be filing it?
Well, we're working on a couple things that are multi-year, probably like the proffer bill. I know as a local elected, there was an issue with the proffer bill. You know, it's one of those things where I'm trying to build a couple of relationships with some senators who maybe were not on the same, you know, side as I was on that issue. Mm-hmm. So I've already been successful at sending one of our local representatives down there and having those conversations. So, you know, again, all the bills I submit will probably be things that I can go in and talk about. You know, if somebody asks me a question about my bill, I will know it. I tend to do bills that are things that matter to me and more technical things. So we're really looking forward to hearing from constituents probably for the next 2 or 3 months, and then we really need to start filing things. So
yeah,
we'll see really soon what our next legislative package is going to look like.
If people want to get a hold of you, Delegate Thomas, what's the best way to do that?
Well, one of the things you can do is you could call us at 540-693-0726. We have a website at www.bobthomasva.com or Bob Thomas VA on social media, all over Twitter, Facebook. And then if you want to come in and have a face-to-face conversation, we've had plenty of those. We have a district office over in Chatham Heights. It's right behind the CVS, 1 Jadup Lane. We'd love to see you there. And sometimes, you know, just coming in and you read something and you're like, that doesn't sound right. And you come in and you get the full explanation. A lot of constituents leave the office feeling like, you know, you're doing a good job for them. So we encourage people to come visit.
Staff for Delegate Bob Thomas. We will stay in touch, Delegate Thomas. Anytime you want to come in, let me know.
Thank you.
That is it for Town Talk.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.